The gospel lesson and the basis for the message this evening is recorded in Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this, a new teaching and with authority?" To evil spirits, and they obey him. Spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters of Christ and in Christ, you people must not be very bright. You're sitting here in church while the worldly wise are out having a good time. You're worshiping a God who conventional wisdom says is at best unknowable and at worst non-existent. You confess that God is your creator, which is a rather simplistic belief in this age of atheistic evolution. You'll shortly come to the Lord's altar to receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, in spite of the fact that secular psychology has banished the word sin from its politically correct vocabulary, and reason would tell you you're just getting bread and wine. And you believe the events in that synagogue in Capernaum that were recorded by St. Mark actually happened the way he said they did, when literary scholars will tell you that the miracle stories of the Bible are just sacred myth. You people must be fools. But then that puts you in pretty good company. The Apostle Paul said of himself and the other apostles, "We are fools for Christ." In 1 Corinthians, he wrote this, "If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight." But then on the other hand, the psalmist David said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So let's see if we've got this straight. Christians are fools in the eyes of the world. The people of this world are fools in the eyes of God. There are two kinds of fools. Well, there were two kinds of fools in that synagogue in Capernaum the day Jesus took the pulpit. And what happened there that day should convince you that any fool can see. Any fool can see that Jesus is true, true God. And any fool can see that Jesus' word is authentically new. There are two kinds of fools when it comes to deciding who Jesus is. There are fools for Christ like us who believe that he is the Son of God and our Savior. And there are the worldly wise who are actually fools, who see him as a good man, a moral teacher, and an unfortunate martyr, but they can't accept the premise that he is God in human flesh. To them, that's foolishness. If you'd taken a poll when those people entered the synagogue that Sabbath day, you wouldn't have gotten many votes for the deity of Christ. Many of those people didn't know who Jesus was, and if you'd pointed him out, they wouldn't change their vote. He looked to all appearances as a man. But if you took an exit poll after that synagogue service, the results would be dramatically different, because any fool can see that Jesus is true. He's true God. What was the difference? Well, to begin with, there was that what Jesus taught and the way he taught was different from anyone else ever. He wasn't just some rabbi talking about God. He spoke as God himself. And then someone in the synagogue described the difference that any fool can see. And it was somebody who might surprise you. A demon who possessed a person in the synagogue that day identified Jesus as the Son of God. Now, demons don't normally do marketing for the truth of Christianity. But this demon couldn't help it. When Satan and God clash, it's war. And this demon was scared stiff. "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" he said. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, the devil's nobody's fool. And the devil knows who Jesus is. And when he's forced to state it, then any fool can see that Jesus is true God. But what happened next removed all doubt. With an authoritative command, Jesus spoke to that demon, and he was expelled like a bat out of hell. Any fool can see that Jesus speaks with the authority of God. There are, of course, some fools who can't see it. Maybe like some of the people in that synagogue that day, they just don't know Jesus. Well, you and I can do something about that. Maybe they've just never heard Jesus speak. They just know him as somebody that other people have a lot of respect for. Well, we can fix that too, because Jesus speaks with the same authority in his word today as he did in that synagogue in the first century. Now, there are some hard case fools who still persist in the impression that Jesus was just a good man and a moral teacher, and that is real foolishness. Because anyone who claims to be God as Jesus did can't be a good man or a moral teacher if he's not who he says he is. He's just a liar. So I guess we're just going to have to let Jesus drive the demon of foolishness out of those hard cases. And if you've seen him do that in Scripture and you know what he has done in your heart, then you don't give up on the hard case fools. God's word is that powerful, as any fool can see. But here's something strange. There are fools for Christ, Christians, who act like the wrong kind of fool. I mean, they say that Jesus is God, and they've seen what he does, but they won't trust him to take care of the little problems in their own life. Can a Jesus who drives demons out be overmatched by your marital problems, or your feelings of worthlessness, or issues at work? Any fool can see that a Savior God who loves you can handle whatever you place into his hands. There are two kinds of fools when it comes to deciding what God's word is. There are people like us, fools for Christ, who believe that God's word is absolute truth and it is authentically new. And then there are the fools of this world who don't believe that anything is absolute truth, and that all religious talk is pretty much the same, just some moralizing and some guilt trips. The people who came into the synagogue that day in Capernaum were used to the usual fare, and they expected more of the same. Some scribe would read some of the law of Moses and then offer some colorless commentary from some learned rabbi of a few centuries back. And then he would say, basically, be good. Maybe it was because they knew deep down that they weren't good, that their conscience kept them coming back. But when Jesus spoke, any fool could see that his word was something authentically new. His authority didn't come from some dusty books, but from God himself. He wasn't offering just another morality lecture, some petty little legalisms to make you feel better. He was offering an answer to their guilty consciences. He was offering them righteousness from God, through God's Son, instead of the phony self-righteousness of people pretending to be good. In Jesus' word, there was life, there was hope, there was purpose. He made them believe that God loved them. He made them feel like loving God. This was so astounding that St. Mark records that they were all amazed. And they asked, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority." Any fool can see. But there are some fools who still can't see. Maybe like the people in Capernaum, all they've ever heard is religious morality lectures. Do this, don't do that. Clichés about being good and finding God. Maybe they've tuned out because all it did is make them feel worthless. Maybe you know people like that. People who stop going to church because, well, they say it's just the same old thing. Tell them that Jesus' gospel is authentically new. It's not God telling you to be good. It's God telling you how he made you perfect. Tell them about how Jesus lived the life that God required of you perfectly in your place and then died to pay the price for your sin, and how God now sees you as perfect by proxy. There are fools in our world today who are continually looking for something new, but in all the wrong places. Maybe they've dabbled in the occult or tried Eastern meditation. Maybe they listen to Oprah and think that the secret is in the human potential movement, some kind of positive thinking. It all starts out sounding like something new and ends up being the same old thing, focused on self. And there are people who've been searching for God and coming up empty. Some of them have burned out on the effort, and now they've simply accepted pleasure or success as a substitute for God. Tell them what any fool can see, that Jesus' message is entirely different and authentically new. It's not about finding God, it's about being found by God. It's not about trying harder, it's about God's grace. It's not a life of duty and obligation. It's a life of love and gratitude. But you know something strange? There are Christians, fools for Christ, who act like the wrong kind of fools. They act like Jesus' word is just boring old stuff. They worship only when there's nothing more exciting to do, and they haven't even considered the possibility of going to a Bible class. But you know what? They never miss their favorite show on television. And that is really strange. Because the greed, the lust, the violence on television shows are always the same old stuff. And you don't need a television to watch people make other people miserable. There must be something in our sinful human nature of the real fool that keeps going back to this world's old sin. Maybe you and I still haven't fully discovered how incredibly new is God's grace. His mercies are new to us every morning. Let me share with you an illustration from H.A. Ironside, a prolific Christian author of the last century, about the difference between law religion and grace. A young Navajo Indian who attended Ironside's Christian school was invited to a youth group discussion about St. Paul's letter to the Galatians in Oakland, California. And he was asked by the group his take on St. Paul's insistence on God's grace and not law. And this is what he told that youth group. "When Dr. Ironside invited me here, we came by train And we stopped at Barstow. And there was this huge train station and hotel. And on one end, there's a sign that says, "Do not spit." And I walked over there and I looked, and all kinds of people had spitted. And before I think what I'm doing, I spit too. Now, isn't that strange that when there's a sign that says "do not," people do? And then I came here to Oakland and I saw the most beautiful house ever. Beautiful carpet and furniture, pictures and a grand piano. And I'm thinking there must be a sign here that says "do not spit." But I don't find a sign, and I look at the carpet and nobody has spit on the carpet. So I think I understand. The law is like that sign. It tells you what to do, but rather than enabling you to do it, it incites you to do the very opposite. And grace is like this beautiful home where people are grateful for their blessings and they love their home, and so they do not need a sign. And that is how I see the difference, he said, between a religion of law and a religion of grace. I guess there are all kinds of different fools, right? There are fools for Christ, there are fools without Christ, and apparently there are fools still trying to decide where they fit. What kind of fool are you? Don't miss the message that Jesus gave in that synagogue in Capernaum. Because any fool can see that Jesus is true God. And any fool can see that his word is authentically new. Amen. Please stand and join me as we confess our faith in the words of Nicene Creed, printed on page 6. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.